Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The journey of our life is fraught with temptations to sin, each of which lures us away from the difficult path of following after our Lord and Savior on the difficult road that he sets before us in this life. The world offers us rest, but it rarely delivers. I'd like to read you part of a poem that Amy wrote several years back about the temptations of this life, which she titled Fairy Light. My journey stretches through the night, yet never reaches day. The fairy lights along the path will flicker, so I lose my way. I know that deep among the trees the darkest places dwell, with blackness soft as woven silk, so deep and endless as a well. So cool to soothe my sweating brow with promise of sweet rest, with promise of sweet rest. My way is rough, the road so long, with such an unknown end. Each fairy light along the path does promise it shall be my friend, to take me deep among the trees, relief and sleep to find, to end my journey through the night, false hope of dawn take from my mind. They pledge to give me all these things and promise me sweet rest. And promise me sweet rest. My steps do falter with each light that calls me from my way. The fairy lights along the path all seem more certain than the day. Soon I am deep among the trees and find my feet unsure, and mired down in sinking ground, while all around the lights do stir and call out from the silken black, we promise you sweet rest, we promise you sweet rest. That's not the end of the poem. We'll return to it at the end of the sermon. But it certainly does give us something to think about, especially as we look at the temptations that Jesus faced from Satan in our gospel reading today. Satan, like those fairy lights in the poem, offers Jesus the promise of sweet rest. As we see in our gospel reading, that Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan, and he's probably not sleeping too well since he didn't eat during that time. Now, there are three temptations that the gospel points to, the three categories. First, there's the temptation to satisfy his immediate physical needs, to turn stones into bread. Second, the temptation to cut corners, take the easy way out, reclaim the world but from Satan by pledging himself to Satan. And then third, the temptation to seek recognition, to jump from the temple, perform a big flashy miracle in front of the whole world, and get the people's attention that way. Now, we don't necessarily have exactly the same temptations, but we certainly do face temptations in this life. Maybe we aren't tempted to magically turn stones into steaks, but we certainly are tempted to satisfy our physical needs to give ourselves rest. After all, it's tax season, just, what, 1 month from now? Yay. And how many times have we been tempted to fudge the numbers just a little bit to avoid paying quite as much taxes as we are obligated to? Or maybe it's not stealing from Uncle Sam, but instead it is stealing from the boss by changing some numbers on a timesheet, or avoiding the work you're supposed to do, or being lazy, or so many other ways we can fudge things a little bit, give ourselves a little more rest at work. The temptation might be to spend all of your money on things that you want to do, taking away from your ability to provide for your family. So many families are hurt by one or the other person taking the money away to do their own thing. Dad uses all the money on booze, so mom has to scrimp and save just to get a crust of bread. Or on the flip side of that coin, spending all of your time and energy on work to provide for your family's physical needs, while at the same time neglecting their emotional needs and their spiritual needs. Have to have both. And there's the temptation to prioritize the one. Maybe we aren't tempted to literally bow down to Satan in exchange for the power of the Roman, Macedonian, Mongol, and American empires, among others, all at the same time, but we are tempted to take the easy road. Maybe that will lead us to rest before we need really earn it. You can work hard and earn everything, or you can cheat, and you can cheat your way to the top. The equivalent of a backup quarterback who trips the starter down the stairs so that he can get the backup job, or the starting job. Now, we might not be tempted to go skydiving with an angel parachute, but we can be tempted to seek our own recognition, the sweet rest of fame. One of our overwhelming desires in this world is, after all, to be remembered for something. We want to make some lasting impact that will survive even after death, whatever that happens to be. And sometimes people are okay with the consequences, even if this recognition is infamous, is negative rather than positive. In looking at all of the school shootings and other mass shootings and things that happen around the world, the one thing that seems to come to the fore is that this is someone who wants recognition. Whether it is good or bad, it doesn't matter. They just want to be remembered for something, even if it is horrible. Remember what happened also to Herod Antipas in Acts chapter 12. He gave a speech. He was acclaimed as the voice of God and not of a man, and then was promptly struck down for not giving the glory to God. We also fall into that trap of seeking our own recognition rather than seeking God's recognition. Temptation is always there, all around us, luring us off the path of perfect faithfulness to our God and Father. And we do resist, but we don't do so perfectly. Whether we succumb or resist, whatever it is, the rest that we get from that temptation is fleeting at best. We never seem to live up to our own expectations when temptations come. Half the time, I approach the temptations with an air of self-confidence. I got this. I'm not going to fall into this. And almost invariably, I do fall into this. I don't got this. I step off the path, following after the temptation, wandering around lost. Even if it never comes out in action, thoughts so often betray us. Now, we do need to be clear here. The temptation itself is not a sin. That Jesus here is being tempted to do things that are, on the surface, maybe okay, as with the first temptation, but which would divert him from the path of faithfulness to God. Jesus is being tempted and yet not sinning. The sin, however, comes in when our thoughts start running away with that temptation, even if our bodies never follow suit. The temptation itself is not the sin. The allowing it to color our thoughts and allowing our thoughts to run after the temptation, that is the sin. Now, sometimes we do resist the temptation for a while, but that in and of itself can turn into our downfall. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Screwtape Letters, which is a series of letters by a undersecretary demon to his nephew, points out that pride is always a good secondary temptation. You allow the subject, the tempted person, to resist the initial temptation, and then when they do resist, you slip right in there, puff them up by saying, wow, it's really impressive of you to resist this strong temptation. You must feel really proud of yourself. And there's another temptation. Pride in general is a very dangerous thing for us. In Proverbs 16, verse 18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Pride can invariably become your downfall. Whatever you are proud of, that can be taken away, and that can bring you down. But the fact is, we cannot resist the temptations forever. We do fall into sin and wander off the path after all the good things of this life, and all of those good things of this life leave us feeling empty and broken. They do not follow through on their promises of rest. But that is not the end of our story, and that is not the end of our reading. After all, Jesus himself faced temptation. He was tempted to prioritize his comfort over God's mission. He was tempted to take the easy way out and avoid the cross entirely by winning people back by worshiping Satan. He was tempted to seek his own recognition instead of seeking the way of service. Jesus was tempted in the same way that we are in all things, and yet he resisted the temptation. He did not turn stones into bread or worship Satan or take the road of recognition. Jesus did not sin so that he could redeem us from our sins. And something we also forget is that not only did he suffer temptation, but he suffered it so that he is able to comfort us in our temptations. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says, "Because Jesus himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." We do not have to face these temptations ourselves because Jesus is there to help us through. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus provides us the strength to resist. And Jesus is the one who gives us true rest in him. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." Jesus is our rest. We can never find true rest in the pleasures and temptations of this world. In the end, they will leave us broken, but God does not leave us in them. Here's how the poem from the beginning ends. "My journey has come to an end, and rest is not so sweet. I cannot even find the path with hopeless, lost, and sinking feet. The darkness deep among the trees is cold as winter ice, and as I shiver, fairies sing, does not our fairy light suffice? If not, then why did you believe false promise of sweet rest, false promise of sweet rest? But in the darkest depths of night, a stronger hand takes mine. It sets me on the solid path and guides my feet where no lights shine. The death which waits among the trees ensnares my way no more. My journey stretches on through night, though I am weary, cold, and sore. I once more limp on toward the day's true promise of sweet rest, true promise of sweet rest." We do not face the temptations alone. Jesus Christ was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin, and he is the one who restores us to the path, the one who gives us the true promise of sweet rest in him. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as we continue along the path to resist temptation by his power. Amen.